If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to John chapter 3, verse 16, and then Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The good news of Jesus Christ is not meant to be kept to ourselves. The final instruction that Jesus gave his disciples was to go into all the world and invite others into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Final instruction to Jesus, to his disciples, was to go into all the world, our sphere of influence, and invite others to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? Who have you talked Jesus with this week? Who have you talked Jesus with this week? Lord, forgive us if we have not done so. This should happen in our homes, our neighborhoods, and around the marketplaces of our lives, in our workplaces, as we demonstrate God's love, grace, and mercy to those who are far from Him. You see, sharing our faith is not an option. It's an expectation. God expects it. Not the officer, not the pastor, not the leadership team, but first and foremost, God expects it. We are ambassadors on behalf of the kingdom of God, and our message is simple. Respond to God's love and be reconciled to Him. There's an urgency in sharing our faith today more than ever because there are many who are so far from God and could be lost for all eternity without His grace. God's grace has invited us to respond to His love. Once we respond, we have a responsibility to share it with others. So this week, prayerfully consider one person in your sphere of influence that you need to share the message of salvation with. Prayerfully consider just one. Just one. You see, the church is the family of God, and whenever that family of God meets, whether it's on Sunday mornings or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that family has room for everyone. Think about those in your family, your neighborhoods, your school, or the workplace that you could invite to be part of the church family next week, the week after. This is the beginning of a new sermon series that will start today, but we'll pick up in a couple weeks' time after Ken and I finish a couple weeks' vacation. And it's a series called Rooted. And when we plant our lives in the right environment, we can grow deep roots that produce good fruit within our lives. And we're going to be looking at four main practices: rooting ourselves in sharing, rooting ourselves in faith, rooting ourselves in prayer and study, and rooting ourselves in community. You see, God's kingdom through the church is the right environment to develop this foundation. And when we surround ourselves with people who love God and seek to serve Him, it inspires us to do the same. But if we surround ourselves with people who are critical, who don't understand, those who don't see God's mission, it inspires us to do the same. So how do you want to be inspired today? How do you want to be inspired? I have heard many God conversations that have taken place throughout the week. Not on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. Imagine that. We don't have to be within these four walls or in the church building itself to have a God conversation. I listened and sorry guys, I didn't mean to be listening, but Harry and Micah were out picking up the food for the food bank this week, and Yeah, that's you, Harry. Yeah, it's okay. And I overheard them say, and Micah, it's all right, Micah. I overheard them say, I was able to share the Lord with them while we were picking up the food. Wow. In the most, speaks volumes, doesn't it? So this week, how can we discover to root ourselves in sharing? If we want to have this place full on a Sunday morning or a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, what are we going to do about it? Who are we going to share the gospel with throughout the week? Our friends that have joined us recently, they didn't come because they wanted to come to church. They came because someone invited them to church. And they accepted that invitation. Why don't you come join us? It's very simple. And it's really not the officer's job, despite years of it. It is our responsibility as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's your responsibility as well. Have you ever had such good news that you couldn't keep it to yourself? You wanted to share it with so many people? I mean, what types of good news do we share? What types of good news do we share? No good news. Pretty sad bunch, I'd say.
Yeah. I caught a big bass.
You did. He caught a big bass. It was a keeper. It's good news. I even took the photograph to prove it. Because you know how sometimes fishermen can be. They exaggerate. The big one got away, right? Sorry, dear. What's other good news? What's good news in your life?
Being a grandmother.
Izzy said to us this week when she was at the cottage with us, she said, I'm so happy I'm here with you, Nanny and Poppy. I'm so happy I'm having fun. Good news. Good news. We all have good news stories. Good news stories. Catherine was enrolled, or I was going to use the word indoctrinated, but that's not the right word, became a Canadian citizen in the last couple weeks. So congratulations to Catherine. She's in the foyer out there. That's good news. That's good news.
Becoming a father.
Yeah. When a couple becomes pregnant, they can't wait to tell the good news.
Yeah.
Someone becomes a grandmother, they can't wait to tell the good news.
Yeah.
And the great grandmothers, exactly. I'm asking for your input, right? You're a great grandmother. You don't look a day over 40, just saying, Maisie, all right? I think I redeemed myself there. But this good news, we have good news. We're excited about it. We find the greatest news that has ever been given. Where is it found? The greatest news that's ever been given? In the Bible, exactly. It changes everything. It's the source of hope. It's the foundation of our joy. It's the motivation for our care and compassion. And there's one Bible verse that delivers this good news in one single verse. And you know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why don't you repeat? You're mouthing it with me. So let's say it really out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. God loves the whole world. And he loves you and those who are listening online just as much as he loves the whole world. It is an individual love. He loved the whole world so much that he sent his son Jesus to earth. And Jesus came to live a perfect life and became a sacrifice on our behalf to cover all our sins. And sin is very simply a sickness that makes us selfish, that makes us hateful, that makes us angry, that makes us destructive and foolish. And Jesus died on the cross to free us from all that. That's the great news. That's the greatest news ever. But this is why we have to share it with everyone. The end of the verse tells us that anyone who believes Jesus died for them will be saved from eternal punishment. I wonder why I couldn't see the words very well. There we go. Believe in this news, good news, results in eternal and everlasting life. That's too good not to share. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
It's too good not to share. The disciples, they believe the good news. The Bible calls those who hear and believe the good news disciples. And Jesus had 12 men who followed him and learned from him during his ministry. And they're known as the 12 disciples. And the Greek word for disciple is Matthias, I think that's how you pronounce it, which means student or pupil. Now, did you ever have a favorite teacher? Do you guys have a favorite teacher in school? No favorite teachers, right?
I'm a little shy.
A little shy, that's okay.
Favor the friends over the
teachers. Any of us adults have a favorite teacher that stands out?
Bible teacher, yeah.
Bible teacher, absolutely. Yep. Bible teachers, school teachers, they inspire us to want to learn. You know, the way they taught lessons made us want to pay attention. I remember in training college, there were some teachers that, take it or leave it, but there were others that the whole 40 minutes or 50 minutes was captured, and before you knew it, the time was over to move on to another class. But it was because they were engaging and inspiring. The disciples were students of Jesus. There, and if you were watching The Chosen or have started to watch The Chosen, and we're going to start that again this year, you see how eager the disciples were to learn from Jesus. He taught them to feed the hungry, heal the sick, serve those in need. And the church today is full of disciples who strive to learn from Jesus and live like him. Are you and I like Jesus? Are you and I and like Jesus? Do you remember the first time someone shared with you who Jesus is and what he has done for you? That little bit of good news that changed your life? That began to root yourself in the truth of God's love? Maybe you had never heard the good news of the gospel. But it's my joy and our joy to share that. We are loved by God. It's not about religion. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. We are loved by God, and Jesus died for you. And when you place your faith in him, you are forgiven and offered a new life. Trust that. Believe that. Live that. And at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he gave one final instruction to his disciples, who if we call on the name of Jesus and we are saved, we are his disciples. He was returning to heaven, but he wanted the good news of Jesus Christ to be shared with others in his absence. Look at Matthew 28. It's a simple message. Then the 11, and start at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then they saw him. They worshiped him. But some, they doubted. There's always one in every crowd, isn't there? Or two or three. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And not only did he say all that, but then he says, and surely I am with you always. Just in case you had a little bit of doubt in there, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Share the good news. He did not want his disciples to see God's love as theirs only. He wanted them to share it. He did not want to see the knowledge of the kingdom of God as something to keep for himself. He wanted them to share it. Jesus wanted the disciples to root themselves in their lives in sharing the good news with the people in order to bless the people. You see, we're to share our lives because Jesus said to make disciples of all nations. The way to make disciples is twofold. First, we got to talk about them. We got to talk about Jesus. What a difference the family of God can be if we talk about Jesus. Bring up Jesus in conversation. Tell others what he has done in your life. Give a testimony of how your life changed because of Jesus. And then secondly, live out the things that you have already learned from Jesus. Live with kindness, selflessness, compassion, purpose, joy. And when we learn to live this way, it becomes contagious to others around us. St. Francis of Assisi, and this story has been around, but I'm going to share it again. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You see, he invited a young monk to join him on a trip to preach. Honored to be invited, the monk readily accepted and was so excited. And all day long, he and Francis walked through the streets, the byways, the alleys, the neighborhoods, the suburbs. They rubbed shoulders with hundreds of people. And at day's end, the two headed back home. Not once did St. Francis address a crowd or talk to anyone about the gospel. Greatly disappointed, this young companion said, I thought we were going to the town to preach. And St. Francis responded, my son, we have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We were seen by many, and our behavior was closely watched. It is of no use to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk. From the Daily Bread. Our lives are proof to a watching world that Jesus is who he says he is and can do what he says he can do. If someone were to spend 24 hours with you or me, would they discover that you know God? Would they discover that you know God? If someone looked at where you spent your time and your attention and your energy and your affection, would they see that you love Jesus? We share with our life the truth of our faith. And Jesus said to share the good news of the gospel with all nations. And to be clear, the message of Jesus is meant to be shared to all people, despite their skin color, despite their socioeconomic background, despite their location on the globe, despite their political differences. It is a message for everyone, and we are to be his ambassadors. And so rooting ourselves and sharing means we are constantly looking for ways to give away the grace and mercy and love that we have found through Jesus. Is that so for you? Is that so for you? We are constantly looking for ways to give away the grace, mercy, and love that we have found through Jesus. I know I keep repeating it, but those of you who are around during Mondays and Wednesdays, and when the grace and mercy of love and God is shared around the table with the people that come through these doors, what a blessing. What a blessing. Ways to give away Cafe Connection. Ways to give away parking lot outreach when the kids go back to school and offering just a few different things for them to do as they run from the school to the parking lot and having conversation with parents. One parent said in June, oh, this is so nice. Thank you for doing this. And immediately we were able to say, well, you know what? We're a church and we want to help. We want to give God's grace and love away, and we show that we care. Is that so for you? You might say, yeah, it's her job. She's got to do it. No. It's God through. Mission is not because it's a job. Mission is because God has designed us to be his disciples, and he wants us to share the gospel. So that is for everyone. Paul wrote in the New Testament about this high calling in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors. Similar to when a high-ranking official works in another country representing his or her own, we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom while living on earth. God has placed you and I here on purpose. God has placed you and I in our neighborhoods, in our offices, in our schools, on our sports teams, and in our families to make an appeal to others on God's behalf. And this appeal is urgent. It is time sensitive because at the end of someone's life, their eternity will be determined by their response to the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of this, we ought to use everything within our power to reach those around us who are far from God. We've all heard about the dog sled race in Alaska. And Ken, how do you pronounce what it's called?
Iditarod.
And I've actually witnessed the Iditarod. And I might have been in minus 60 degrees at that time, but I do remember witnessing. I wasn't there very long. But I was interested in the background of this story. In January 1926, and we'll conclude with this, 6-year-old Richard Stanley showed symptoms of diphtheria, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in a small town called Nome. And when the boy passed away a bit later, Dr. Curtis Welch just began immunizing children and adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. But it wasn't long before his supply ran out. And the nearest supply was in Nenana, Alaska, 1,000 miles of frozen wilderness away. You know what happened? A group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog teams. And operating in relays from trading post to trapping station and beyond, one sled started out from Nome and another sled started out from Nenana. And oblivious to frostbite, fatigue, and exhaustion, the teamsters mushed relentlessly until after 144 hours and negative 50 degree winds, the serum was delivered to Nome. As a result, only one other life was lost to the potential epidemic. Their sacrifice gave an entire town the gift of life. If you and I had a cure for some kind of illness, would we be willing to share it readily with others? My friends, we have the cure for sin, and we should be eager to tell others. When we have been reconciled to God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we want to see others experience connection and friendship with God. It is not about entertainment. It is not about eating well. It is not about, it is about experiencing genuine connection and conversation with Jesus Christ and friendship with him. And so who is this one person who you could share the grace of God with this week? Surely there's at least one. Surely there's at least one. What is one way that you could share your faith through words or deeds to let others know about God's love? Let's make an intentional point of being an ambassador for the kingdom and remember to invite them to share in something with you this week. My friends, we are his disciples. We are his disciples. That can be scary. That can be powerful. That can be... He expects us to share the gospel. He expects us to share the gospel. How are we as Christians going to share that gospel with others? I have a confession to make, and I can't remember whether or not I did say this as well, but there was one morning here, Meredith wasn't around, and I wasn't quite ready getting everything out for Cafe Connection, and this one lady came in and she said, I need more of the Lord in my life. And we proceeded to chat, and I've shared this with the ladies. I'll never miss another opportunity again. When someone comes to me and says, I need more and more of the Lord of life, I'm not going to, I fumbled that. I fumbled that. That's on me. I had to seek God's forgiveness. I even ran out in the parking lot to see if she was still there, because I knew that I had missed that opportunity. Don't get me wrong. We talked about the Lord. We did. But I didn't take the opportunity to say, what does that mean for you? How do you want more of the Lord in your life? It won't happen again. I can guarantee you it won't happen again. Because God used that mistake to teach me a lesson. We might not always have these God conversations on a Sunday morning, but man, the opportunities throughout the week are just there, waiting, waiting, and waiting. Jesus wants us to be his disciples, his ambassadors. And his final instruction was to go into the world and invite others into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, what in the world is she talking about? I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even a Christian, so how do you expect me to go and share? Well, the answer to that, my friend, simply to seek God as your Savior today and say, you know what, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved by your grace so that I can share your faith with others. That's what happens, isn't it, Micah? That's what happens when you give your heart to the Lord. You want to share that faith. We should want to share that faith. Or have we become complacent? If we come complacent, then the place is to get down on our knees and say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. We're going to sing this. Well, I'm not going to sing it, but Ken's going to play it. Maybe there's someone here this morning who you're saying, you know what? God, I just need your forgiveness. I just need to start afresh. I just need to start afresh. There's no harm in coming and just standing here and saying, Lord, I want to start afresh. Lord, I want to start afresh. Forgive me. I've never really had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, there were two of the children that we sent to camp last week. They gave their hearts to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Never discount that. Never discount that. And many more as part of the camping ministry this week. As children, we can come and give our hearts to God. You can do it right now, even where you're sitting. You can come and you can, maybe you'd like to come and just actively even just say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm going, I commit. Publicly to reach out to someone this week. Jesus, God's own Son, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Oh, he wants us. We have the greatest news. I trust that that's not boring for you, because if it is boring, we got a problem. If the good news of Jesus Christ has become boring in your life or in my life, we got a problem. We got a problem. Maybe you'd like to come and stand, kneel, chat. You don't need to worry about public live stream. We automatically go dark if someone comes to the front, because that's a private thing. but you know what? Do as God is bidding you to do. Yeah, it's 11:30. So what? It's 11:30, so what? No big deal. If God is speaking to you this morning, then actively do something about it. And if you want someone to come and pray with you, then we will do so with that as well.